BCFM 93.2 is a charity and works with the diverse communities in Bristol. So please continue to support us by getting involved and spreading the word.
Welcome back to BCFM's politics show, Friday Drive Time, with Old Labour Oxford economist Martin Summers and me, Tony Gosling. Fracking in the Mendips. Is this a new source of local natural gas or a licence to poison Bristol's water supplies? We hear from Zoe Smith from Hotwells, who's just been to court with two colleagues for trying to stop the frackers in their tracks before they get here. Plus, the latest from around the world with Old Labour Oxford economist Martin Summers and our Palestine update. A UN report this week says conditions in occupied Palestine are becoming impossible. We have the figures and talk to a local campaigner. Also, an extract from the Iranian channel Press TV, which is now banned here in Britain. Also, former Bristol MEP Richard Cottrell explains how NATO has been secretly bombing its own people since the 1980s around Europe. He's got a new book out on the topic. Also, a special this week with former US airman turned author who believes he's unpicked the network of dark forces which has been blighting humanity for centuries. That's a special one just before the 7 o'clock news. That's Tim Cohen, an exclusive interview. Plus the latest round the world with Martin Summers in a minute. But first of all, we're joined by Zoe Smith and Laura Caulfield, who have been involved in this local fracking campaigns. Hi, Zoe and Laura. Welcome to Drive Time.
Hello.
First of all, you, Laura, you're based in Keynsham, and I understand that in Keynsham there is going to be at least an attempt to start some fracking locally there.
That's kind of accurate. They're putting in a planning application for a test drill for coal bed methane extraction, which is very similar to fracking. It's kind of like its evil twin. It's a company called UK Methane Limited, and they got in contact to let us know that they were putting in this planning application, which is very kind of them. It's given us lots of opportunity to start our campaign, which is going really well and gaining strength day to day.
Okay, I suppose the first thing is, this is fracking is short for, is it hydraulic fracturing?
That's correct.
Right, and what is it? What is this stuff?
Well, coal bed methane is where there's a coal seam in the ground. One in Keynsham is apparently 800 feet down, and it's when natural plants convert to being coal, the methane molecules stick to the pieces of coal and are kept there by the pressure of the water and the rocks surrounding it. And so what these companies want to do, they want to drill down to it, they want to start removing the water, which they hope will release the gas. If the gas doesn't start flowing after this point, then they start hydraulic fracturing or fracking, in which case they mix a huge amount of water with a range of chemicals and sand. They push it down the hole at great force, and this basically fractures the rock and releases the gas.
Well, that's the idea anyway. What sort of chemicals are they putting in?
All sorts of chemicals. I mean, the very first point with coal bed methane is the water that's been marinating this coal for thousands of years. It's very salinated, and it can include pollutants such as chloride, sodium, sulfate, bicarbonate, fluoride, iron, barium, magnesium, ammonia, and arsenic. So a real host of baddies that we would prefer would be to stay down there rather than risk being brought up and contaminating the water.
So, I mean, really, I mean, one argument would be, well, I mean, what's the problem with putting other chemicals into the ground when these nasty chemicals are already in there?
Well, the ones that are in there at the moment are in place and they're not going anywhere. The problem comes from when they start to get moved around, brought to the surface, and then have to be dealt with. But, you know, they have to go somewhere once they're brought out. The problem with then doing the fracking, mixing all of the chemicals with clean water, so you're kind of irreversibly polluting this water that you then push into the ground. Some of that water never comes out, it remains in the ground with the possibility of it leaching to other places. And again, once it's done its job, it's fractured the rocks and it's been brought up, you then have to deal with it again. And then it's known as produced water, which is kind of a waste of the industry.
Okay, now before we hear from Zoe, let's have a little listen to an extract from a film called Frack Off, which has got some Brits and Americans that went over to the US to make a little film about what's been going on over there.
This is Bradford County, northeastern Pennsylvania.
This previously quiet corner of America is now at the center of a rush for natural gas, extracted through a new drilling technology called hydraulic fracturing, also known as fracking. But as the ecologist discovered, fracking is a high-risk process that threatens to both destroy the environment and wreck lives.
It makes me mad. It makes me very mad. Because my life is over without my water.
There was just like this red, nasty water just coming, just oozing out the side of the mountain, just the side of the hill.
And now hydraulic fracturing is heading for Europe. The UK, Poland, France and Germany are all next in the frack firing line.
That's an extract there from the actually quite fascinating and fairly short, not too long, YouTube film called Frack Off. Now, Zoe Smith, can you tell us what you've... Because you were in court last week. What were you in court for?
I was in court because I was arrested in December last year for scaling the drilling rig that was in place in Lancashire, another exploratory drilling site there. And we occupied the rig for, I think, 13 hours and prevented them going on with the drilling for that day at least. So I was being charged with aggravated trespass for doing that.
Okay, so this was... Just give us a description of what these drilling rigs are like that they're using to do these fracking. Because essentially, if I'm right, what they're doing is they're drilling giant holes into the ground and then stuffing stuff down and hoping that this nice natural gas is going to come up. A bit like drilling for oil or something.
It's very similar to the oil drilling process. In fact, they haven't started fracking at the site where we went. They haven't done any fracking in the last year, I think, since they had some earthquakes resulting from fracking in Lancashire.
Now, has that actually been proven? Because there was a bit of doubt about that at the time. They were this is around the Blackpool area, that there had been earthquakes, but people weren't necessarily sure if fracking had actually caused this.
There was a report from the British Geological Survey, I think, and the basic conclusion was that it was highly likely that the earthquakes were caused by fracking, and Quadrilla, which is the company involved, has also acknowledged that it was them that caused the earthquakes. They seem to have the idea that that's okay because they'll be able to monitor the earthquakes, and in that case, everything will be fine.
Oh dear, well, it sounds a little bit of a risky way of doing things. Okay, so what was it that got you particularly interested in this? Why did you decide to go up to Lancashire from Bristol and do this?
Well, we knew that the South West was also on their target list, so we felt like it was worth going up and doing the action in Lancashire just to kind of highlight the issue before they manage to come down here as well. And it's just a beautiful spot that they are turning into an industrial site. It's right next to a SSSI nature reserve at the Ribble Estuary, and it's right over one of the largest drinking water aquifers in the north of England. So they're drilling directly through the aquifer to frack beneath it, and they're claiming that a concrete pipe will be in place there, and there's no danger of that concrete pipe, earthquakes and all, fracturing and the water becoming contaminated.
Well, that sounds a little bit of a risky process, but ultimately, I mean, these companies are now on hold, aren't they, because of the earthquakes. As I understand it, the government has now said, look, you can't actually do any of this until we discover what was the cause of these earthquakes. So that is, at least there's a little bit of sensible stuff going on there, surely.
Yes, Charles Hendry from the Department of Energy and Climate Change has confirmed that fracking operations have been halted at this point, whilst they look more into it and get regulations in place. Like Zoe said, the earthquakes have been confirmed to be caused by fracking, so it's just a matter of how they feel like they can regulate it enough that they feel it's safe. I don't think it will ever be safe, and no matter how many regulations they say they can put in place and attempt to put in place, it's never worth the risk.
But Laura, how do you respond to the accusation that you're like Luddites, you're trying to stand in the way of this new technology which is actually going to bring local natural gas and possibly even bring down the price of our gas bills?
Well, it's very tricky to say it's going to bring down the price of the gas, because if problems occur, it will be the local taxpayer that will be mopping up the costs of having to clean up these messes.
So we might have to pay more council tax, but our gas bills might be cheaper.
I don't think that we're ever going to reap the benefits and they will outweigh the environmental destruction and my hometown having to deal with the local effects of this process. I don't think that will ever weigh it out. It's a very we've got our local MP Jacob Rees-Mogg, who said it's going to be very beneficial for the economy. The life of the drill lasts about 10-15 years. In all that time, it would have caused all these problems, and then we're going to be in exactly the same position. And that gas won't be available anymore. Fossil fuels are going to be peaking. We should be investing in renewable energy, and that's the only foolproof plan for investing in sustainable energy for everybody.
Well, it's a bit irritating to hear Jacob Rees-Mogg saying that, because not all Conservative MPs would agree with him. One of them from Field, which is up north somewhere, I'm not quite sure exactly where, Mark Menzies is a Conservative, and he pinned down, or attempted to anyway, David Cameron at Prime Minister's Questions this week on this very topic.
Well, Menzies, Mr Speaker, this government does indeed aspire to be the greenest government ever. So with that in mind, can the Prime Minister assure me that before any decision is taken to extract shale gas from Fylde, there will be both a public consultation and the establishment of an independent body to coordinate a gold standard of regulation so the environment is never compromised?
Well, as my honourable friend will know, all fracking operations for shale gas have been suspended while we study the minor tremors that occurred in Blackpool last year. The Royal Academy of Engineering and the Royal Society have produced a full independent review into the risks of fracking. But what I can assure my honourable friend about is that any future shale gas production would have to meet stringent safety and environmental standards. It'd have to follow deep consultation with local communities, and it would have to fit within our overall energy commitments.
Well, that's the Prime Minister, Laura, and he's giving us some pretty strong assurances there that the proper regulations are in place.
Well, I can tell you at the moment how this fantastic public consultation he was referring to is going there at the moment. We were grateful to receive an email from UK Methane to let us know they were putting in the planning application. Since then, it's been left to the local community to organise a meeting with their geologist, paying out of our own pockets for a room to hear what he has to say. And that's kind of where it's ended, really. And it's up to us, to a community, to raise awareness with the local residents and farmers, local businesses in and all the people that live in Keynsham, to let them know what's happening, basically, and to educate ourselves. These stringent safety regulations that he's talking about do not exist at the moment. It's at the very early stages, and regardless of what he says about the fracking operations being suspended, they're pushing through with coal bed methane at a great rate, and we really need to start being aware of it now and not be fooled into this they're relaxed on it and it's all off, because it's not. It's really on, and it's up to us now to educate ourselves collectively and start fighting it.
Well, I've just pulled up an article online from the Blackpool Gazette this week, and that's where Fylde is, apparently. Chairman of Blackpool, this is Philip Mitchell, chairman of Blackpool and Fylde Green Party, and they are saying that the drilling is, in fact, it's not just them, it's also EU scientists are saying that the Environment Directorate have added its calls for tough new regulations to be imposed on the industry after a ruling it can damage the environment and people's health. This is the EU speaking here. It's not the first time a study has called for better regulation of the industry, but anti-shale gas campaigners have called on the government to take notice of this latest report. In your experience, Zoe, is this something that's happening, or is this simply an economic energy giant juggernaut that's just pushing ahead regardless?
Well, the case that I went to trial for last week proved, in fact, that Quadrilla, the company drilling, had already breached their local planning permission. They'd already been in breach of their agreement not to disturb birds overwintering in the area. So even the little regulation that they've been asked to abide by, they're ignoring. So I think juggernaut is a good word for it. They're really going all guns, because they've invested a lot of money in this and they haven't had any returns yet.
Is there actually any evidence, either of you, I'll put this to, that some of these fracking chemicals leach out and into the water supply?
Well, you just have to Google it on the internet for plenty of videos of people setting fire to their tap water. In America, from where methane has has escaped from the fractures into the local water, and there's plenty of footage of dead ecology and you know, water bubbling up through brooks, methane, sorry, bubbling up through brooks. The evidence is out there. You don't have to scratch the surface very hard to see it.
I mean, we're in the situation, though. I mean, we were hearing that the regulations are supposed to be in place. They're being broken by these companies, and very little seems to be being done about it. Are we in a situation where the only way to stop this is for people to literally go in there and physically either break the materials that are being, or the drilling rigs and this kind of thing? Seems to be impossibly the only way to actually get this stopped. At the moment, it has stopped, but it's going to be starting again soon, isn't it?
Well, in Transition Cajun, we're attempting to do the legal route. We're attempting to contact our, you know, elected representatives. And, you know, we've started to collect a petition. We've been told by our local councillors that petitions aren't worth, you know, the paper they're written on, that they'll only be counted as one objection, even though there might be thousands of names on there. So you're constantly kind of having to jump over these hurdles. But at the moment, we have some faith that perhaps this method will work. And we would urge people out there to sign our petition, which you can find on the Frack Free Somerset website. And we will be attending planning meetings and opposing planning applications, and we urge people to support us in doing that. But who knows? You know, it's that, and it's literally a life and death situation. If they come to my hometown and they attend, you know, attempt to go through with these operations, I don't know what I'll be left with. You know, it will be my children's home, and several generations after that, they'll be dealing with these consequences, and I don't know what I will be forced to do.
Yeah, Zoe, the films that Laura was talking about there are pretty appalling when you see them. The idea that you have to be very careful in your kitchen if your cooker is too close to the sink, in case you put the tap on and the whole sink catches fire. This isn't ideal, really, is it?
Yes, and not only that, people's animals are dying, people themselves are suffering from ill health, their hair is falling out, they have headaches, stomach upsets. This whole area is being contaminated in America and Australia particularly. What we're finding in Europe is that fracking is being much more closely watched, because we're a much more closely packed population, and there just isn't space to go about drilling holes around people's homes, and there are many more people who would suffer the consequences of that should they get away with it.
Now, we've got this organisation called Frack Free Somerset, Laura. How do people sort of keep in touch with what's going on locally?
Well, the coalition came about because some licences, PEDL licences, were bought by coal gas companies for the Mendips area, which also includes Keynsham. So it was a group of us concerned people that felt like we wanted to get together and have a united voice, share resources and plan events so that people could raise awareness about it. So we've got a website, which is www.frackfreesomerset.org.uk, and people can sign up for action alerts and be kept informed about local news and find out where events are happening, and find details about how, you know, there's letter templates on there, so people can write, you know, feel empowered to write letters to their local councillors if they've not done that sort of thing before. We really need everybody to get on board with this.
Okay, so that's frackfreesomerset.org. Now, I understand, isn't there some sort of talk coming up in Wales at some point in the near future, or have we just missed it?
No, it's on Tuesday the 25th of September from 7 till 9 p.m. at the Wells Town Hall, and we've just had it confirmed that the director of UK Methane will be on our question and answer panel. So the event is an opportunity for people to hear both sides of the story. We don't want to be accused of being scaremongering. We want to have all the facts laid out on the table and have opportunities to speak to these people so that people can be informed and make their own decisions. Mainly because we're confident once they hear the facts that they'll be appalled and they won't want it to happen. We've got nothing to hide. So yes, people are welcome to come along to this event and ask questions to the panel.
Oh, it'd be interesting, certainly an interesting thing to come along to, and also an interesting test of whether we live in a democracy or not.
Indeed. We've invited several people from lots of different stakeholders, Wessex Water, the Environment Agency. We're really trying to get everybody that will be affected by these decisions on board. And it will also be filmed for those of you that can't make it on the night.
Lovely. Well, that's Laura Caulfield from Keynsham and Frack Free Somerset, and Zoe Smith from Rising Tide. Thank you ever so much for being here this
Thanks
evening.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down. Yeah, we wept when we remembered Zion. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yeah, we wept when we remembered Zion. Let the wicked carry us away in captivity, required from us the song. Now how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange
Well, the ubiquitous Boney M there from many years ago with rather nicer water than the kind of nasty red stuff pouring out the side of that mountain in America after the frackers had had a go at it.